produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Thando Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa. It's always a pleasure, it's always a privilege to be together with the world, together with each and every one of you that listens through the sound of my voice in preaching and teaching the Word of God. Today, let's just join in together. Let's just zoom in as we read the Word, studying the Word, and we learn on the subject of prayer. It's a subject that most of us know. But I just want to explain it the way God was showing me this week. He was just reminding me, and it caused me to read Luke 11. He also asked me to read Mark 11. But because of time, we are just going to zoom in on the subject of prayer, but talking or reading the story of Luke. When it starts, verse 1, book of Luke, it's when the disciples of Jesus Christ were asking him, asking their Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to teach them how to pray. He had been praying in a certain place. Then he coached them in saying, when you say, you know, our Father who art in heaven, you know, the very common prayer that we have learned over the years in primary schools. We have learned this in our homes and in the churches that we grow up at. The Lord's Prayer has been the prayer that we all knew and learned. So Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples the very prayer. And when he said, when he finished teaching them, let's pick it up from verse 5. Let's read it, what he also said. He was making an example. He was saying, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, let me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine had come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, this is Jesus Christ speaking. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus Christ is making an example of persistency and prayer. He was praying. Yenaqala uJesu Kristu. His disciples asked him about being taught how to pray. Then he taught them the Abba Father, the Lord's Prayer. Then he goes on to make an example of this man who has a friend who goes to him at night, because he, the friend, has also had somebody who had visited him, needed him. But now he had no bread. So he had to go and ask his friend. The friend who is asked for bread, he's disputing and he's uyala. He's refusing and say, I'm already in bed and the door is locked. I'm not getting up on your behalf. But Jesus Christ tells us or shows us an example here. This man who was sleeping, not only did he wake up for the friend, it was not because the man was his friend, but the friend kept on pushing. The attitude of prayer that we need to push. You need to push against all odds. You push even the people, you start with the people you know, even the people that you do not know. Remember the story of Luke 1:18, the story of an unjust judge. Again, Jesus was teaching on prayer there. That woman kept on going to the unjust judge. She kept on going because she needed verdict for her case. So in your predicament of life, there are issues that need you and me to pray over. It may not be bread, issue of bread only. It may not be a court case only. It can also be issues of bloodline issues. It can be sins. It can be issues at home. The foundational issues could be issues around at work, challenges at work, challenges at home. Challenges in the community, but whatever the case may be, it's a reality, and it's a call to pray. It's a call for you to fasten your belt and pray. So Jesus Christ goes further in the book of Luke to explain the tenacity, the persistence of prayer. In saying that, let's look at verse 9. He say, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? It's a question that Jesus is asking. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent, which is a snake, instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, if you know who you are evil, how you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Basically, Jesus Christ is saying here, ask, seek, you will find. Tenacity of prayer, the pushing part, ask. Ask, tell. When you apply for a job, you are seeking, you are asking, you are knocking. Ask for a job, seek for a job, knock until somebody answers you, until that door gets to be open, until you find. And the examples that Jesus Christ makes of saying that if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone now? If he asks for fish, would you give him a serpent now? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? And it goes on to say that human beings are evil. If you of evil characters, you give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father in heaven, who would not withhold the Holy Spirit? I wondered, why would Jesus Christ speak about the Holy Spirit in comparison to food, in comparison to bread, eggs, and fish? I wondered. But then, as in my wondering, I realized that Umoyo Ngcwele is our helper. Umoyo Ngcwele is our advocate. He is our standby. He's greater than any power that ever existed on earth. When you ask him, the helper, the great I am, the whose I am, the Father, the creator of the universe, he's able to give you whatever that you ask in the name of Jesus. Umoyo Ngcwele testifies on behalf of Jesus Christ. He shows you and teaches the word on behalf of Jesus Christ. He even makes intercession on your behalf. So when you ask for him, Ngulungulu will give it to you. So you ask for anything in prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Whatever in this world that you seek, if it's healing that you are seeking, it is you need to ask. In Matthew 17, verse 20, 21, Jesus Christ was talking or was making a relation of a story of a father who had a child who had epilepsy, and his disciples were unable to heal or to cast out the demon. But then Jesus Christ made known of the fact that this kind of sickness, this kind, does not only go out by prayer, but it also needs fasting. So in our praying endeavors, we also need fasting. We need to pray, seek, ask. In your seeking, in your asking, in your finding, the element of prayer needs to be added. It needs to be added. It needs to be added. As you fast, you break loose the chains of oppression, not only in your life, but in other people as well. If you read Isaiah 58, it tells you the analogy, the reasons why we pray. Jesus, God there was speaking to the Israelites, to the tribe of Judah, on the elements of fasting, the reasons that what people need to fast and how people need to fast. In that case, God was rebuking the nation of his nation. Or when they fast, they were having dispute, they were treating their workers badly, they were wearing torn clothes and pretend as if, you know, to look somber for everybody to see which they were fasting. But God said, no, is this not the kind of fasting that I had given? Where he went on from verse, I think it's, I'm not going there per se, I'm just quoting the scripture, when he was explaining that when you fast, you have to break the chains. When you fast, you give food to the poor, you clothe the poor, you feed the hungry, you take care of the orphans, even the people in your family who are needy, you cover them basically in your fasting. So we are talking about prayer, but then we add the issue of fasting. Then he also said, Isaiah 58, then your light will shine brighter and your healing will come quicker. So in seeking and in praying and in asking and in finding, you find your healing, you find your breakthrough. So this week for me, God was reminding me on these scriptures that seek, continue on knocking. There are situations in our lives that are stronger than us, that they need prayer, they need fasting, they need umoyo ngcwele, they need the unction and the anchoring of the Holy Spirit in your life, in fasting and in prayer, so that you push the boundaries of darkness backwards. You push and break the fallow ground. You break those walls that have been standing against you for years. Those gates that don't want to move. Through fasting and prayer, they move. Let's look at verse 21 in the book of Luke, when Jesus Christ now was explaining further this part of fasting. And when now we're talking about gates, we're talking about issues that are even harder for you. God is speaking about a strong man. In Luke 11, verse 21, he says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he entrusted, and he divides his spoils. He who is not, we'll just finish it. The issue about the strong man, I used to struggle understanding this issue of a strong man. But when I read Luke 11, starting with Jesus praying the Lord's Prayer, the story of the friend, then the issue of asking, seeking, and finding, then also when Jesus now talks about demons, where the Bible talks about when he casted out a demon, then now he is explaining about a strong man, the way we are right now. A strong man, it could be a demon, a foundational spirit that is in your home, that is stubborn, that does not want to leave. But now Jesus Christ was explaining that through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, through the power that raised him from death, through him, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, he is far stronger. He is bigger than the strong man. Doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. Doesn't matter what the devil has done to your family. It could be a spirit of poverty. It could be a spirit of lack. It could be a spirit of divorce. A spirit of unfortunate happenings. It could be a spirit of rape. It could be a spirit of unemployment. Whatever spirit it is, a strong man, therefore, therefore, but there's a stronger power that is Jesus Christ. There is a stronger power that is the power of the Most High God. There is a stronger Edebo Shalamata intercessor, which is the Holy Spirit, who is more powerful, who is greater, who is power itself. Even death cannot stand. The strong man has no power. The strong man is removed. Jesus Christ clearly tells us that when a strong man has, you know, those situations, they are more like your normal conditions at home. No, we know that at home there's divorce. At home we don't have cash. At home we don't have money. At home there's poverty. At home, it's a strong man. It's a situation that has made itself at home. But a stronger man than it, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who is, who was always to come, the one who died on the cross, is stronger than the strong man. It's time to invite him unto your home. Because when he comes, the Bible continues to tell us that, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he has on which he has trusted and divides his spirit. He takes away, he destroys anger, he destroys poverty, he destroys lack, he destroys anything and everything that has exalted itself about the kingdom of God in your life. I don't know who am I speaking to. There's somebody in this world. Maybe you're saying to Pastor Tandiwe, I don't know if this is what you're talking about. I've tried, I have fasted, I have prayed, but nothing has happened. I've been a born again all my life. I was born again seriously for over 20 years, but I've received Christ as a child in primary school and high school and even at university. But the point I'm getting at right now, somebody came and say, I have served Jesus, I have prayed, I have fasted, but nothing happened. But I want to encourage you again and again that the issue of asking and seeking, and it's permanent. You need not give up. Jesus Christ was telling me with the issue, a challenge that I've been facing for years. He says to me, continue to knock, continue to seek, continue to ask. Don't stop. Speak. Knock. The door will be open. The enemy, one deception that he has made or given us over the years is that unkulunkulu akezwa, that God does not hear us. It's a lie. God hears. God hears. Sometimes it's because we have issues. We have anger issues. We have issues that need to be cleaned up around us. But he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And he is even faithful to help us with your iniquities. He is faithful to help you with your sins. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is a God, a jealous God. He's also a just judge. He's a loving father. He's a loving father. You learn to approach the throne of grace in the book of Hebrews. You approach the throne of grace with confidence. You go to God knowing that he loves you, his Abba, Father. You know that he's a just judge. He's judge, he's just, he's fair. Some of you may say, but the issues of this world are too much. Even look at the story of Job. Job, the Bible clearly that he was just, he was righteous, he was, you know, there was no sin around him, but still the enemy, the devil, frustrated him. But if you read that story again, it was also God who was showing up and showing off more Job. That is according to me, because it was God who said to Satan when Satan was visiting the heavens, because the Bible says the Son of God was in heaven and Satan was with them. And God asked, where are you coming from? And he said, to and fro. Then God said, did you see my servant Job? He's blameless, he's faithful, he shuns evil. You know, then Satan said, oh, would he do that if you had not had an hedge around him, the protection? Satan knew that Job was protected by God. So basically, most of us, we are protected by God. God is faithful. As you approach the throne of grace with confidence, he's able to help you. He, Umoya Ngcwele, he help us in our infirmity. If you know not what to pray for, we ask him. He's faithful and just. He needs us to be faithful. He needs a broken heart. He needs us to admit that we are sinners, but also we are washed by the blood of Jesus. So it's time to knock. It's time to ask. It's time to seek until you find. But first of all, you seek the face of God through Christ. You seek the face of God through Christ, the one who is, who was to come. He died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. Jesus Christ so much came on this world so that we may live and have life to its abundance. So it is up to you and me to know God through Christ. Receive Jesus Christ. You are walking on this earth. You are like somebody who is naked if you don't have Jesus Christ in, as your Lord and Savior. Because Umoya Ngcwele, the Holy Spirit, is the one who lives in you. Because you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is time, South Africa, it is time, USA, it is time, Nigeria, it is time, anyone over this earth, to receive Jesus Christ. It is time. We will not fight, we will not stand, we will not able to find if we are not in Christ. It's time to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are saying to me, Mfundisi, I have heard you, I have listened to this word, yes, I would want to seek, I would want to ask, I would want to knock. Yes, I want the tenacity to keep on praying and receiving and saying, and I want to become that house of prayer that Jesus spoke on in Mark 11. Let me help you to receive him. Let me assist you if you have not received him. Join me in this prayer. Say this prayer together with me. Father, I have learned and I know that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know that he died for our sins. I ask this day that he comes to my heart and makes me his child. I divorce the enemy. I divorce Satan and his demons. I say to Jesus, you are my Lord and are my Savior. I ask Lord Jesus for forgiveness. I ask that you forgive me my past sins. I ask that you write my name in the book of life. And I ask that you deliver me from my past sins. In the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As you have prayed that prayer with me, I would like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every person all over this world who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I say, Lord, as you have done with Abo Job, you've restored him eventually to his rightful position after he has lost everything, after Satan has ruined his life. But because you have been a God that is faithful, you repositioned him and abundantly gave to him. Lord, your children have been seeking to know you. Today they have received you. I ask in the name of Jesus that you give to them what normally, naturally, spiritually belongs to them. Because you even say in Ephesians that you have given us all spiritual blessings in Ephesians have been given to us. May the blood of Jesus speak on their behalf. May the Holy Spirit anchor them as they walk this journey of being born again. I pray that they find churches and they find individuals that would teach them the word, especially focusing on Jesus Christ, the anchor and the author and the of the finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord, that they read the word of God. They know you for themselves. They understand the word and they rediscover their destiny for whoever that is born of God overcomes the world. They are born of God today. They are born again. Lord, I pray, Lord, there are lives are knitted together with you through the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for each and every person that has received you this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Receiving Jesus Christ is his first step. The second step is to be in the presence of God, stay in the presence of God, reading the word of God daily. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Get a Bible. Different versions of Bibles will teach you more about God, because there are other Bibles, like Mangset Bibles, I mean other versions, are explained differently. So you get to get a view on the word of God. And another thing is that prayer is your communication with God. You learn to pray. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer. And Umoya Ngcwele would be the helper. As you have received Jesus Christ, Umoya Ngcwele now lives in the inside of you. Umoya Ngcwele is the Holy Spirit. He makes intercession for you. He becomes your anchor. He works with you. He shows you in the way that you should go. Basically, he's more than a friend. He's more like a brother. He's more like a sister. He's more like a mother or an uncle. He's more like anyone that is the closest to you. So he's your partner in life and your partner in navigating the issues of this life. So I urge you to find a church that teaches on the word, that prays to the Father in the name of Jesus. And I urge you to keep praying and to keep reading the word of God. This is Pastor Thandwe Nyoni. I thank you for your time. And this is where I end the session today. And we thank God for the word that we read on Luke 11. God bless you and God day. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen. Well, greetings to you again from South Africa. This is your Destined for Glory program, where we receive the broken seals of God's revelation and exalting Jesus Christ, whom God exalted and gave the name that is above every other name. My name is Benjamin Kutswane, and we come into you today. We Finding My Way Radio. We continue to proclaim the blessing over every listener of Finding My Way Radio. And we thank God for Kayla Padgett and the team at Finding My Way. We proclaim the blessing of the kingdom power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we go into our program, let's pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, believing you and knowing that you have appointed this day as the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, we come renouncing all familiarity and contempt and praying that let that which you have ordained from before the foundations of the world be made manifest with every life, even as we gather around to receive the broken seals of your word. Father, we pray for every listener right now. We pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray that Christ be formed in their heart. We pray that the revelation of salvation be released, O Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now as we pray for the authorities and those that are in power. For you said in your word, when we pray for them, we shall live of a peaceable life. So we pray for the authorities. We pray for the rulers, the presidents, and the leaders of the nations. For you have ordained the domains of governance, O Father. And therefore, we call forth your goodness. We call forth the seed of your word with which you have created these domains. In the name of Jesus, we call it forth and proclaim your breakthrough blessing in spirit, in soul, in body, in character, and in maturity. material, and by faith will receive the manifestation of your glory to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your glory break every limitation in every life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even as we pray, dear listener, we are praying in the faith that God created all things by his word. Right from Genesis 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Note that when it says God created the heavens and the earth, it means God's seed, which is the seed of his word, is in everything that is occupying in the heavens and in the earth. And therefore, we are able now to access a new dimension of prayer. I can assure you, we are entering the final plane of destiny as regards the prayer, even the prayer of intercession. It's going to be joy to pray. It's going to be a refreshing to pray again. You know why? Because it's no longer going to be like we are trying to impregnate anything that we are praying into, but everything that God created, he has impregnated with his seed. The seed of God releases expectancy. Yes, the seed of God releases expectancy. And that's why, therefore, we have been brought to the place where the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19 that all of creation is travailing, is groaning, and is travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we read it, let's begin it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says here, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, note, which shall be revealed. Which shall be revealed. Now, you must understand, this creation was not only made expectant after the fall of man. No, there was a pure expectancy that was released in creation before the fall. A pure expectancy in that God created the heavens and the earth by his word. And when he called it into being, his word is the seed. And the seed of God releases expectancy in creation, which means God created the heavens and the earth to do what? To bring forth his goodness, to bring forth his glory. Yes, he appointed it unto his glory because he appointed it by his very word. So before the fall of man, God impregnated all of creation with his seed, which is his word. Therefore, we know that all is destined for the glory of God. Even if the fall came, creation was already impregnated by the word of God. And now we know, even from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, that we have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And I want you to know with me that the incorruptibility of the word of God did not begin only after the fall, neither did it begin after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, the incorruptibility of the word of God began from the beginning. Why? Because even from before the foundations of the world, God predestined us to be blameless and holy. That's Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 4, we have been predestined to be blameless and holy before the foundations of the world, which means God, in his sovereignty and holiness, he has already prepared everything and predestined everything unto goodness. So creation was called into being by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That's why, which means all of the earth, all of the heavens is full of the seed of the word of God. And therefore, you and I are called, therefore, to expect from God to bring forth. So why do I say to you, prayer is going to be an exciting thing? It is because now prayers of intercession, he is about to be turned into the harvesting tool wherein we are now going to harvest the fruit of the seed of God. Yes, when we pray, it is no longer going to be our effort, our might and power. I was saying to others, there is the movie called The War Room. I have not yet seen the movie, but I know and understand that it speaks about the prayer, even the prayer of intercession and warfare. But I want you to understand, the flip side of the war room is the birth room. Yes, the birthing room, the room that gives life, which means when we speak about the war room, it's not going to be in a sense where our carnal self will feel that I have made war and I have waged war. No, it's going to be with the flip side of the bathroom, where it is now a refreshing of knowing that life is coming forth. Why? Because everything God spoke into, he spoke life into it. He spoke life into creation. So when we follow it through, we can go to Psalms chapter 19. In the book of Psalms chapter 19, therefore, we read that all the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament, they speak forth his word. They utter his word. Which word is the heavens and the firmament uttering? They are uttering the word with which they have been impregnated. When God created everything, he put his word in it. All right? And then we go to Psalm 24 again. In Psalm 24, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, which means that God has established again the earth and the fullness thereof, the world and those that be therein. He has established it by his word. Now today, I want you to appreciate in your spirit that this word is not just an ordinary word. It is the seed of God. It is the life-giving seed of God. It is the birthing seed of God. It is the fruitful seed of God. And because it is the fruitful seed of God, our prayers of intercession are about to be raised as the intercessory harvesting tool. No more like it is our might and power. No more like we need to die again as we pray. No, he has already died, and he who died is already interceding for us. And guess what? Jesus makes intercession for us at the right hand side of the Father. Why is he doing that? Because in us is the seed of God. So Jesus is putting in the sickle of the harvesting through his prayer of intercession. He is expecting to harvest what the Father sowed in us. What is it that the Father sowed in us? 1 Peter 1:23, we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which means the reason why Jesus is interceding for the church, it is because the church has been impregnated. The church has been made to be the expectant place where heaven can expect joy. Hallelujah. Heaven expects joy out of us. Heaven expects breakthrough out of us. That's why, therefore, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, we have the mystery of salvation to this intent, that to the principalities and powers and to the angelic realm, that there may be revealed the manifold wisdom of God by the church. Yes. Jesus interceding is expectant. The heaven is expectant. The angelic realms, the heavenly host is expectant of what? Of the manifold wisdom of God to be revealed, underlined, by the church, which means the church is the impregnated place with the seed of the word of God, so that out of the church, Jesus can harvest this manifold wisdom of God even unto the angelic and the powers in the realms of the heavenly host. Hallelujah. This is awesome. This says to us, it is not time to give up. in prayer. Let's go on as we read Romans chapter 8. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Why is this word coming forth? This word is coming forth to say, remember verse 1 of Romans 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, it means in us, we don't have to give in to condemnation. Why? Because whatever we go through in this present time is not worth, it's not worth it to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. I don't know what you might be going through in this moment, but I know these are testing times. These are stormy times. Remember where we ended up, even as we shared in time past, that this is the time not to see what you see, but it is a time to see what he says. When you look at the storms that you are going through, don't see what you see, but see what he says. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples in the boat and the storms arose. When the storms arose, they got confused because Jesus was resting at the bottom of the boat. And when they called upon him, he came and silenced the storm. But note that they were even filled with stormy thoughts. Why? Because they saw what they saw instead of seeing what he said. Because when the journey began, Jesus had said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now that's the word that they were supposed to see. But instead of seeing what he says, they saw what their eyes saw. And when they saw what their eyes saw, they saw the storms. And even their thinking, even their belief, even their minds became like the storm. How so? Remember the words that they said to him. They said to Jesus, "Don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die in the storms?" Now, they are talking to life himself. They are talking to the man who organized the cruise, the man who said, "Let us cross over to the other side." And they are complaining to him with the mind filled with what their eyes is seeing. And I hear in this season where God is saying, don't see what you see, but see what God says. Yes, don't see what you see. See what God says. Why? Because we are not called to walk by sight. What you allow to come in through your eyes can easily corrupt and cause a storm in your faith, a contamination of your faith through the storm, to the point that you can even turn against God and turn against your Savior and look at him and say that he does not care. Now, there is no carelessness about God. There can never be any carelessness about Jesus. But what was causing them to do that is because they chose to see what they see instead of seeing what he said. And guess what? When he rose up, he did not even see the storm. He spoke the word again and said, "Peace, be still." And they continued to wonder as to what manner of man is this, that even the seas obey. This is where God is calling us to, that we know that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Yes, this is the transfiguration moment of our prayer. This is where God is bringing us to a place of being transfigured in our prayer, where we know that we are no longer just praying with might and power, but no, we are harvesting that which has been impregnated by the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is the fruitful seed, is the incorruptible seed that cannot return unto him void. Remember, in Isaiah chapter 55, and he says, the word of God will never return unto him void without accomplishing that which he has purposed. He says, as rain comes to the ground and never goes up, his word comes through and accomplishes its purpose. And therefore, we know that the word of God is a purposeful, fruitful seed into everything that he sends it into. So now, our prayers are called to change where we say, bring forth the harvest of God. Bring forth that which God has impregnated you with. We speak to everything in the earth, and we command it to bring forth. Why? Because whatever we go through cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In verse 19, then he says, this is the one we open up with, he says, for the earth, the earnest expectation, there it is. Why expectation? Because the word of God is the impregnating seed that brings forth or that stirs up expectancy, and that says it's not over until God's word brings forth fruit. Yes, you heard it today. It's not over until the seed of God's word brings forth fruit. Why? Because the devil might be saying to you and I, give up now. But God is saying, no, I have written in my word, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, and harvest. Oh, yes, seed, time, and harvest. God spoke the word in the beginning. That word is the seed. Now we are in the time, which means that this is a time of expectancy. This is the time of expectation. This is the time of long suffering. This is the time of waiting on God. And if that is the time, it is the time of waiting on God. How do we wait on God? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this is the time of giving God his pleasure by believing him. Why? That the seed was there, and time will be filled up with what? With my faith that chooses to please God. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe his word. I choose to believe his seed. I choose to believe that his seed will not be aborted. I choose to believe that his seed is incorruptible seed, and it shall bring forth what heaven had conceived when the seed was released. So the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's right. Why? Because the sons of God are the carriers of the ultimate glory that has to bring and fulfill the hope of all creation. Listen to what it says so that we'll understand it. It says, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. God subjected all of creation in hope. Why hope? Because in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he gave man his glory. He allowed man, Adam, his glory. So Adam was the carrier of God's glory. So when the fall came, all of creation was looking up to the glory of God that was in the first son or the first Adam. And when it looked unto him, it saw the glory of God, because God created him and gave him dominion and said, all of these things, look up to this. This is my image. This is my likeness. And in Adam was the glory of God. So when man fell, it's like the glory of God went down on the Son of Man. And that's why creation is being promised right now by the word of God, that it is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. How will the sons of God be manifested? It is time that you and I know that the sons of God shall be manifested as those that are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. What is the seed of the word of God whereby we have to be born again? This is the seed. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same word became flesh and dwelt among us. This word is Jesus Christ, who has become the ultimate seed of God that has come to restore the glory. glory of God that has come for the revealing of the glory of God through all those that will receive him. For the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, even as believed on his name, he gave them the right to be called the sons of God, all the children of God. And he goes on to say, they are not born of the will of man, but they are born of the power or the will of God. And therefore God is saying to you and I, you are the carrier of God's glory that all of creation is awaiting and is expectant of. Why? Because God has impregnated everything in creation by his word. So your prayer right now, I speak the refreshing in your prayer as a child of God, and I speak the revelation of the true Christ to you who have not yet received Jesus, that know that this is all about Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, arise knowing that it's your time to manifest the glory of the Father, and your prayer now, receive the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, glorifying Jesus as a sickle of harvest, going into everything that God has impregnated with his word. We shall pray for the rulers. Why? Because it is God who impregnated the domain of rulership with his word. We shall pray even for our bodies. Why? Because it is God who has appointed for us to be the temples of the Holy Spirit. So we pray knowing that everything is having the word of God impregnating it. So our prayer is more of the harvest of God right now. So receive it for your life. Stand in the faith. Stretch out the sickle of intercession. Bring in the harvest in the name of Jesus. There is harvest for your body. There is harvest for your spirit and your soul. There is harvest for your material possession. There is harvest for your relationship. And it is all because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God richly bless you as you continue knowing that it's time to keep expectant and putting in the sickle of prayer to harvest the goodness of the Lord, because we are born again to come into the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, receive it. You are appointed unto goodness. Breakthrough is yours through his incorruptible seed of the word. God will bless you until we meet again in destined for glory. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Kingdom blessings around the world. Greetings, Shalom. I bring you greetings of peace and joy in our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. This is The Real Dr. Rich. Welcome to Candid Conversations. It's been a long time. Let me just take a brief moment to pray and to say a very special thank you to CEO Kayla Finding My Way Padgett. Thank you so much, you and your staff, and greetings around the world. Father Yahuwah, thank you for this day that you have made. I am rejoicing and I'm glad in it. Thank you, Father, for your tender grace and your sweet mercies. Your favor follows me, Father, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach and minister the gospel, Father, according to your divine will. I thank you also, Father, for the many people, the many lives that Finding My Way Radio has touched, not only through Candid Conversations, but through various broadcasts, Father, by your sons and your daughters. I plead the blood of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, over those who listen, Father, and not only those, but those who are attached divinely through their kingdom acceptance of your Son, who is the propitiation for our sins. I thank you, Father, for the angels whom we have dispatched, because you have given us authority to dispatch angels, Father, to not only do war on our behalf, but to minister to those who are lost, Father, in this world. Those may be family members by blood, Father, or kingdom members who have yet to accept your Son. We say thank you, Father. Thank you for the liberty to minister your truth, for you are truth, Father. You are the only truth that we truly know, Father. You, Father, are truth. So we thank you again for the Finding My Way team. Thank you so much. In Yeshua's name we pray. Okay, so we're in a new month. This is the month of October, and I'm so thankful because the number 10 represents so much. And the first thing that I want to tackle today on Candid Conversations, because no topic is taboo, it is, yes, I'm going to have to put it out here, is our obedience and our thoughts concerning the Ten Commandments. Yes. The Ten Commandments. Although we are now under grace and truth, which many denominations preach. Many denominations, and let me say this, let me do a disclaimer. It is not that Yeshua himself came for denominations. No, he came for the kingdom of his Father, to set the kingdom in order here in earth. The kingdom, that is our prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about us and what we deem is right or wrong, but it's about setting his kingdom in order. And it starts first with ourselves. It begins with us. As you can remember, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, it was the Apostle Paul, and I'm laughing because I love the Apostle Paul, but it was the Apostle Paul who spoke these words: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah God. Yes, listen, Yahuwah God, we're calling him by his name, Yahuwah, and this is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't let me calling him Yahuwah mess you up. I am telling you right now that when I say Yahuwah, it's almost like us being in a room, and if you're a parent, a child saying mom or dad, and you know, you may know your child's voice, but if the room is noisy, it's better, you know, sometimes to specify, use with specificity, that particular parent's name. And so I want to call him Yahuwah. Some of us choose to call him Elohim, and that's great. I just don't like to just use a general terminology saying God, because he means so much to me. He is my Father. He's my personal Father. He is, you know, my creator. He fashioned me. He knew me before I was fashioned in my mother's womb. But again, Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. While you're living, present your body as a sacrifice. Do that which is pleasing to him. It's not about man, because if we please him, then yes, there will be people who are pleased and people who will recognize our testimonies, people who will accept our testimonies as untainted. Of course, we all have passed, but what I'm referring more so to is us being able to practice and to live what we're actually saying with our mouths. So Paul goes on to say, a living sacrifice, holy. Yeah, there's that word, holy. And you and I both know the definition. Even if we don't know it verbatim, we know what holy means. And we can only be made right through Yeshua, our Savior. So holy or holiness refers to dedicated, consecrated to Yahuwah God, or religious purpose. And by holy, let me put a sticky note right here. I want to encourage us. This is not a moment of judgment more than it is a moment of encouragement or exhortation. I want us to remember that we can't always look at other quote-unquote Christians or believers to set the tone for our actions and our behaviors. We alone are responsible for our own actions and our own decisions, the way that we live. And we find the way that we should live in His Word. And so, you know, when it comes down to holiness, don't allow someone else to define what holiness is. You know what dedicated or consecrated to Yahuwah God or religious purpose, meaning sacred, means. We know it's hallowed, it's sanctified, divine, you know, blessed, dedicated. And just because other Christians or believers find it okay to defile the temple. And I'm going to get a little touchy right here, but, you know, this is a new month, and He's loaded us with new benefits, new mercies in this new day, this new month, this new season. We're in a new season, people. We have 3 months, according to His will. If it be His will, we have 3 months. But if we don't have those 3 months, if it's not allotted to us, we have today, right now, to take His word seriously, to get things right, to be made righteous, to be brought back in right standing through Yeshua, HaMashiach. So holiness, let's see. Paul says a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah. So not only do we need to strive to read the word and to conduct ourselves accordingly. Listen, I understand that sin touches us all. However, His word touches us as well. His word is what changes us. His word is life. His word transforms us. His word gets our minds redirected when we're unfocused or distracted. Listen, let me tell you this. I understand. I'm not preaching as though, like Paul also said, as though I've already arrived. I am a work in progress. But one thing that I don't do, I don't offer excuses. I seek my Yahuwah, my Father, for forgiveness. I am accountable for my own actions. And when Paul admonishes us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah, meaning, you know, the world may accept it, but does Yahuwah God accept it? And I'm going to get a little touchy because I'm going to tell you, I've seen some of us be so worried and so bogged down with the cares of this world that drinking is a vice to calm us down, smoking, shopping, overeating, all of these things become more beneficial in the moment of trying to find peace than does the word, than does His power. Because with man, things may be impossible, but with Him, all things are possible. And please know, I do understand heaviness. I do understand being weighed down in your spirit. I do understand that when the trials of life come up against us, I do understand that life hacks happen, and you know, sometimes we're at our wit's end. It can be because of marital issues. It can come about through our children. It can come about through our jobs or our careers or just feeling inadequate. But I want to admonish you today to know that He is our answer. Everything that we need, every issue that we may experience is recorded in the Word, and we have history to also, to actually corroborate the Word. Yes, we do. History, facts to, you know, demonstrate these truths. And I want to tell you, I don't offer excuses. You know, that's a way that we show our vulnerability. We don't want to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to be responsible or accountable for the decisions and the choices that we've made. But I want to tell you that Paul had something going special when he said, which is our reasonable service, meaning this is the least that we can do. This is what we should do. I mean, he's saying it's not much. This is the foundation. This is the bare minimum. This is the lowest form that we can go. And what we're saying is, what Paul was saying is, do this, you know. And he goes on and uses a conjunction and says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world. Yes, and let's not look at the world as only being worldly people or people who have yet to accept Yeshua HaMashiach, because there are some worldly, quote-unquote, Christians. There are some carnal, quote-unquote, Christians who believe it's okay to, and listen, again, I am not trying to judge, but this is candid conversations where no topic is taboo. So let's discuss it. Let's discuss why we want to be okay with calling on his name and praising him and saying how good he is to us while yet trusting in our flesh, because there's no good thing in the flesh. Paul also said that. He said when he would do good, evil is present, and that he would do, he does it not. I'm not quoting verbatim, but I'm going to tell you this. That was not an excuse. Paul is just showing us, allowing us to see his transparency. He wants you to know that, yes, he's a great man after Yahuwah, God, after his conversion on the Damascus Road. Yes, he preached the word. Yes, he brought many in to the kingdom. However, he's saying that on his best day, his flesh tends to rise up. And that's similar to some of us. However, he's also admonishing us not to be conformed to this world or this world's ideologies, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our mind. Listen, with social media, with all that's on television and radio and what we're seeing in the world, even if we don't watch television, it's enough to contaminate us. So, yes, we have to be mindful that it's a great opportunity to go into our prayer room. Sometimes we're just so tired. We're just so overwhelmed with the cares of this world, with family life, with work life, with our various organizations and, you know, community activism and all of these things. But it's imperative that we renew our minds. And the only way we can renew our minds is in his word. It's in his word. We have to open his word. We have to allow the word to not only encourage us, but to bring correction and conviction. I didn't say condemnation. I said correction and conviction. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm telling you. Paul also said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahuwah. See, there's a perfect will, I believe, and there's a permissive will. Yes, it's always ideal for the believer to be in Yahuwah God's perfect will, and we cannot be in his perfect will if we're not in his word. In his word, where we find truth, where we find life, where we find correction, where we find what we need to make it throughout the day. Yes, I'm telling you, Paul hit something on the head when he said that. And as I began my candid conversations today with you, I began with the reference to the number 10 and what that means biblically. And it means completion. Yes, it means perfection and completion. So I wanted to discuss, as I mentioned, the Ten Commandments, although we all are presently under grace. Yes, we are. And so many denominations make sure that we push and promote that. But today on Candid Conversations, not only am I pushing grace, because his grace definitely goes before us. Yes, yes. And his favor follows us. And I thank you, Yahuwah. However, let me read just a few. Let me remind you of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, Yahuwah. So that's the first commandment. And then, he goes to say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord Yahuwah God in vain. Yes. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Yes. I want to expound on that a little bit more in another candid conversation, but please know that Dr. Rich is absolutely excited about the Sabbath, about taking that day specifically to meditate more intentionally. Yes, I worship on every day. 7 days I take to worship him because he allows me to see that particular day. Yes, I take time to pray early in the morning, where I used to have a challenge, you know, rising, because I would go to bed so late, like 1 and 2, and it would be a challenge to get up at 5:15 to be in the prayer. But I committed to that thing. I said to Yahuwah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would rise early and allow him to set my day. Because you know what? He's that kind of good Yahuwah God. He doesn't force himself on me. He sends reminders. He's the best reminder. Yes, he is. And so I've had to be more intentional. And that Sabbath day, just taking that day to not be in a rush to do all of these things that I used to do. I actually am in a peaceful state on the Sabbath. And that Sabbath day, to me, as you listen around the world, is Saturday. That's the day that I have reconditioned my mind. And in no way am I going to be dogmatic in my approach with you with that. But just think on it and meditate. It's good for me not to be in the salon or in the shopping centers or doing some other things that takes up a lot of my time, but to actually set that time aside to intentionally praise him, to worship him, to study his word more intricately and more intimately. Yes. So, I love that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this is not just Old Testament. That particular commandment is also found in New Testament. There's reference to that by our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I may say HaMashiach or HaMashiach, just depends on how I feel, but please know that there's this tomato and tomato. Thank you again. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. And for a lot of us, that may be challenging, not because we're reprobate, not because we're sinners or because we're carnal Christians, but just because our parents want to take the place of Yahuwah God. Listen, that is a very sensitive subject for me as a parent and as a daughter. It is wise to those of us who will allow Yahuwah to give us wisdom, to give us wisdom. It is wise for us to understand, to comprehend fully that there is danger in usurping or attempting to usurp Yahuwah's authority and his role in our children's lives. It was Satan who first attempted to usurp Yahuwah's authority. That's one reason. That is the main reason he was forced out and kicked out, if I may use that terminology. He was kicked out of the heavens as the primary worshiper, the lead Lucifer. Yes, he was the lead praise and worship angel, and because he attempted to do that. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way, and there are ways for us to continue to honor our father and our fathers and our mothers, our earthly fathers and mothers, as kingdom people, as kingdom sons and daughters. There's a way that we can respect and honor them in love as we perfect our love walk. Those who, you know, maybe addicted to drugs, those who may have been pedophiles, those who maybe have been blasphemers or haters of the kingdom and our Heavenly Father. So, yes, they're still, this is still good. Let me tell you, it does us good not to try to dismiss the Ten Commandments. Let's continue to honor our fathers and our mothers. Thou shalt not kill. You know, there are laws in this land to deal with those of us who. So, are you following me? You know, many of us say we can dismiss this, or Yeshua came and fulfilled the law. And okay, let's say he did, but when you're disobeying the laws of the land and you kill someone, what is your consequence? What are your consequences? So it would behoove us to still implore these, to still apply these and implement them into our daily lives. Let's not kill, even with our tongues, kingdom brothers and sisters. Let's not kill others and assassinate them with the anger of our tongues because they've hurt us in some way. Let's not speak evil of them. Let's pray for them. You know, it's one thing to attack a person physically, but when we attack them verbally as believers, what does that say about our Father? What, more specifically, what does that say about you while you're wearing his name? Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, don't commit adultery. That is someone's husband. That is someone's wife. Those are someone's spouses. So, you know, continue to apply this to number 10. Thou shalt not steal. Again, there are laws in the land. If you're caught stealing, there are going to be consequences. There are penalties to pay. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, that is a huge one. So many of us covet what our kingdom brothers, kingdom sisters, and even worldly individuals have possessed, whether that's a big, nice home, the finest of vehicles, beautiful children, beautiful faces, hair, lips, bodies, physiques, figures, whatever it is, we shouldn't covet. And I'm going to give you a special tip for all of these once I finish them. Thou shalt not covet. Yes, yes, yes. I fed them, and I'm excited about this. So let me give you this tip. The way that we can implement these without thinking too hard about it, or without it being such a chore, is to just basically, this is the prime, just basically develop our relationship with Yeshua. I'm telling you, he would lead us. He will guide us in the form of the Holy Spirit. When we're going astray, when we're becoming too distracted, he'll speak to us. He'll allow us to be. Listen, he'll allow us to feel a little uncomfortable in our actions and in our words. He will cause us to acknowledge and to become accountable for what we say, what we think. Yes, even what we think and what we do. I am so excited, so thankful that you joined me on this Candid Conversations. Remember, Candid Conversations, where no topic is taboo. I'm excited about you. I want to say a prayer. Father, thank you for the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of your word. We thank you for CEO Kayla Padgett, her entire staff, and all of our kingdom brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you for the sponsors, Father, especially Ewing Moving and Storage. Congratulations on what Yahuwah has done in enlarging your territory here in the earth. Until next time, I ask that you would listen to Ministry Moments with Apostle Cedric and Dr. C. Denise Richardson every other Saturday, and Story Time with Princess Leah Camille every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Kingdom blessings around the world. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.